Hi, everybody. This is not Bruce Ash. Bruce, I believe, is on a cruise somewhere near the D-Day landing sites. Is that correct? I believe it is. Anyway, he's not going to be here this week. And my name's Tom Danahy. I'm sitting in for him today. If anybody wants to give me a call and yell at me, it's 790-2040. But if you don't want to call and yell, then I have lots of stuff to talk about. This week, and obviously, it gets boring after a while seeing what our president, and he's our president, what he has done this week. Last week, the beginning of the week, he was in Japan during Memorial Day. And he was speaking to some of our troops, but also to some Japanese sailors. And he said, "Happy Memorial Day." Memorial Day's not happy. It just isn't. It's a holiday, I understand. We take the time off. You know, you don't have to work, or you get Monday off for the if you have a job. And it's a solemn occasion. And it's not happy Memorial Day, especially not to Japanese sailors. No offense to them. I guess they did what they thought was their duty or their ancestors did. But you don't say that. You just don't. Then the Wall Street Journal, and I'm glad it was the Wall Street Journal and not the Washington Post or the New York Times, because people wouldn't have believed it, but the Washington Journal came up with a story that said that they had hidden away the USS John McCain while President Trump was in Japan. And they hid it away. They covered the name with a tarp, and they let all the sailors that were on duty that day, they gave them the day off so that they would not attend the rally, or not a rally, they wouldn't attend the occasion with President Trump, because if they attended the occasion with President Trump, they would have to wear their hats that said USS John McCain. Now, there are a lot of reasons to complain about President Trump, but my biggest one is he's so petty. He just is so petty. And he says, "Oh, I didn't know anything about it." And then the Secretary of Defense said, "Oh, I didn't know anything about it. Somebody knew something about it." And it's ridiculous. And not only that, the USS John McCain is named for the late Arizona Senator John McCain and his father and his grandfather. And his father and grandfather were both U.S. admirals in the Navy. John McCain, by the way, was born in the Panama Canal Zone when his father was stationed there. And so it is not just named for our senator, but also for the for his two his father and grandfather, and there should be some kind of respect going in there somewhere. And I was wondering, if by some form there will someday be a USS Donald Trump. Can you imagine serving on the USS Donald Trump? I'm sure that there are people out there that say, "Well, I wouldn't want to serve on the USS Barack Obama," but there's not one of those either. So I actually looked it up, and there are several U.S. Navy vessels that are actually presidents who do not have U.S. Navy vessels named for them. William Henry Harrison, who was president for 40 days, and then he got pneumonia. And John Tyler, I don't know if you know this. This is the craziest thing ever. John Tyler was president in 1841. You got that? 1841. John Tyler has two grandsons still alive today. Grandsons, not great grandsons, grandsons. They're both like 90 something, but they're John Tyler's blood grandsons. You can look it up. It's the strangest thing ever. From 1841, when he was president, he had kids later in life when he was like in his 60s and stuff. And then those kids had kids later in life, but those two men are still alive. Anyway, Zachary Taylor doesn't have one. Millard Fillmore did have a boat named after him. But it was later recommissioned as the USS Powhatan. And Powhatan was a Native American chief. Andrew Johnson, believe it or not, the one who was impeached and had to go to trial, he did have a ship named after him, but they changed it to the USS Manchuria in 1918. There are several other presidents: Benjamin Harrison, William McKinley, William Howard Taft, Richard Nixon. There's no USS Richard Nixon. And there's no Bill Clinton. There is a Jimmy Carter, which is odd. There is a USS Jimmy Carter, and usually they don't name them after him until they're gone. But there's no George W. Bush, no Barack Obama, and no Donald Trump. But it is something to think about. Can you imagine a future sailor having to set a sail on the USS Donald Trump? I don't know if they'll ever name one after him. I hope they don't. Another thing that the Trump administration did this week, they hosted the Boston Red Sox, who won the World Series last year. And the Boston Red Sox, 10 of their players who are either African-American or of Caribbean origin, chose not to go. They just didn't want to go. And the manager of the Boston Red Sox didn't want to go because he's from Puerto Rico, and he feels that the Trump administration has done a huge disservice to the island of Puerto Rico. They'll fix up Florida, but they won't fix up Puerto Rico because it's, well, I don't know why not. They are American citizens, and it is part of the United States. But they hosted the Boston Red Sox, and on the official invitation to the Boston Red Sox, they spelled Sox, S-O-C-K-S. There's nobody in the White House that could catch that error. The Boston Red Sox have been S-O-X for more than 100 years. 100 years. And they didn't catch that. Anyway, our number is 790-2040 if anybody wants to call in. What I have here for you, I actually have a copy of the Mueller report. It's huge and unwieldy, and I actually read it, and it's boring. It really is. I'll give you that much. I do believe there's stuff in there that is damaging to the president and his campaign. But, that's the other thing. Did you see that he texted, or not texted, he never texts, he tweets. He tweeted the other night that he was very upset. He said that he knew nothing about Russia helping him win the election. And then he had to come and change that because it's like, wait a minute. That's admitting that Russia helped him win the election. And it's really odd. I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I'm not in any way a Donald Trump fan. But I don't think the Russians turned that election. I really don't. I think that they meddled in it and they did bad stuff. But I don't think they turned the election towards his favor. I think that Hillary Clinton was perhaps the worst candidate of my lifetime. She was probably worse than Michael Dukakis, if you can imagine. And I think that Trump had a message that resonated with certain people in the in our America, we'll put it that way. And somebody once said, it was a comedian, Charlie Murphy, who died not too long ago, and he was the brother of Eddie Murphy, and he was a stand-up comedian. And he said, not all Trump voters are racists, but all racists are Trump voters. And I have to agree with that. I don't believe, I mean, there are lots of people I know aren't racist, and they voted for Donald Trump, and they basically sold their soul for a tax cut that only helped the rich people, but that's fine. You know, that's part of America. And anyway, moving on. This week, I don't know the exact number. I believe it is 10. 10 people died on Mount Everest. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures. You need to look it up. Go Google those pictures. It's scary. It is a traffic jam on top of Mount Everest. And there are people that are climbing Mount Everest that have never climbed a mountain before. They're just lazy and they're taking the shortcut. Instead of going to the base camp and acclimating themselves to the thin air and then moving to the next camp where the air is even thinner and then moving on up like that, they take a helicopter up to like the 15,000 foot level. You're supposed to start basically at sea level and work your way up, but they don't want to take the 3 or 4 weeks that it takes to do that, and so they just go up to the middle of the thing, and they get up to the top, and hypoxia sets in, and there are people that are going there, and they want to stay on top of the mountain, and there's nobody there. The Sherpa guides have long since given up. They don't try to regulate the traffic. And the picture is stunning. It's one of my favorite photographs of all time. Was a picture from the Yukon, the Klondike Gold Rush in the late 1890s of Americans and other people trying to climb over the mountains to get to where the gold was in the Yukon. And it's one of my favorite photographs. As a matter of fact, they used it on the Alaska license plate for a while. It was just this long line of people, and you just had to be thrilled with the human spirit. But this is different. People dying on Everest for no reason, and two Americans died, and I guess 8 other people. And there's only like a 3-week window during the year where the weather is not horrible, when people can climb that mountain. And today, that I just heard on the news right here that they think that 8 people or more died climbing a mountain in India. I understand that, you know, why do people do that? Well, because it's there. But we can't keep taking shortcuts. We just can't. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Give us a call if you want, 790-2040. Hi, we're back. This is Tom Danahy sitting in for Bruce Ash today. Bruce is on a well-deserved cruise with his wife, and they're visiting Normandy, I believe. I guess that's the message you gave me. We have a caller, Mark.
Hey, Tom, glad to talk to you. Hey, listen, first thing I want to tell you something. Do you know something? When you and Emil were on years ago, you two, in my opinion, had the best talk show in the United States.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I miss Emil every day.
You together, you guys were just, you know what I'm saying, just very special. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Before I get done with you, you're going to be quoting Rush Limbaugh.
I do that all the time. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I don't.
I want you, here's the deal. I am a Republican, okay?
Okay.
The best way to describe me is I'm a Charles Krauthammer Republican, George Will, Bill Kristol.
Ah, but George Will isn't a Republican anymore. He has quit the Republican Party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But that type of Republican. Here's the deal. Rush Limbaugh, 20 years ago, when Bill Clinton was president, there wasn't a week that went by where he didn't say these words. And I want you to use these to every Republican you come across. Character matters.
I agree. I will use those words. I sincerely agree. That's important, but I don't hear him saying that anymore.
Character matters. It mattered 20, 30 years ago. It matters now. And this, I might agree with a lot about Donald Trump's policies. But the problem is this president has a character problem.
I certainly agree. And the thing is, I listen to Rush Limbaugh when I'm driving around in the daytime, and I don't hear him talking about character anymore. He talks about, everybody hates Trump, and they just can't figure it out, and they don't understand, and so they're just going to attack him on everything. And the thing is, I'm sure that there are policies that he has come out with that I don't know if I would agree with him, but I'm not going to say they're horrible. But at the same time, I've never gotten past the point where I would ask people, I said, if you were young, think back when you were young, you know, you were high school or early college or anything like that, would Donald Trump have been part of your group? And there's absolutely no way. I mean,
No way.
He's just a despicable human being. And the thing is, and people tell me, what did he say, this stuff about, it's just locker room talk. I played high school sports, I played college sports, I've been in a lot of locker rooms, and I've never heard talk like that. And they say, you're going to tell me that athletes didn't talk about sex? I said, that's not true. That's not it. I said, athletes would come in, and some would brag about it, and some would mention stuff that they had gone out with a girl or a woman. I said, but I never, ever in my entire life in a locker room heard an athlete say, I committed a felony by sexual assault. I grabbed a woman by her private parts when she didn't want me to. And I mean, I wouldn't want a person like that around me. And I can't get past that as he's president. And then he tells me he's a genius. Do you think he's a genius?
No.
No. Okay.
And you want to know something? I don't understand it. You want to know something? We Republicans, and I want Republicans to listen. Republicans, listen up. We are going to lose next year. We're going to lose the Senate, we're going to lose the House, and we're going to lose the White House, all because of this president and his character. And I'm going to tell you something. I am hoping, this is what I'm hoping for, Martha McSally, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, the other guy, a couple other senators, they all know this guy's got a character problem. They said it. They need to march down there, and I want to challenge them. Remember when Nixon resigned? Why did Nixon resign? Because Barry Goldwater and John Rhodes marched up to that White House and said, what? Mr. President, resign. And I want to know something from the Republican Party. Where is the Barry Goldwaters? Where are the John Rhodes? You need to tell John, Tom, you talk to these Republicans. You need to ask them that. This is what we need from the Republican Party. Enough is enough is enough.
Well, I've been asking my Republican friends since President Trump took office. I said, what would it take for you to say, okay, I can't take it anymore? And at first, you know, I mean, he made that joke about I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody would mind. And I used to say, well, what a dumb thing to say, but I don't think he could. I honestly don't think he could shoot somebody and get away with it. But at the same time, I keep wondering what it's going to take before somebody says, okay, that's enough. And I thought that there were Republicans out there that had the backbone to do it. I don't think Mitch McConnell does. Mitch McConnell is just a mealy-mouthed guy who I have no idea how he got all that power in the Senate. And but he'll do whatever Trump says. He just follows along. And what did McConnell say when Barack Obama got elected? Our job is to make sure that this guy Obama doesn't succeed. I mean, before Obama even started out, he said, we have to make sure he doesn't succeed. And I'm not saying McConnell's a racist. He can say, oh, look, I bought myself an Asian bride. You know, I'm not racist. But it's just, I don't understand it. And I don't understand where these people are. And Ted Cruz, you know, that's the other thing. Ted Cruz, I don't agree with anything he says, but this guy insulted your wife.
I agree. I mean, and look at all the stuff. And they all said that, I mean, trust me, even Martha McSally. You know, Martha McSally's in hot water because I know deep down, and I'm a big Martha McSally person, okay? And she had her doubts about supporting this president. And she decided, you know, well, we're going to suck it up to kind of support his policies. I kind of get that, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but she tied her wagon to him for the election, and it didn't work. And
guess what? It isn't going to work next time either. And guess what? There's going to be a lot of, and there's a lot of us, by the way, we are the silent majority. There's a lot of us Republicans out here. I think there's more of us out there the other day. The other day I was watching the guy the one Republican House member who stood up before.
Amash from Michigan, yes.
Yeah, and he says, you know, I read the report, enough is enough. We need to be going through with this. And you want to know something? They stood up, and they gave him a standing ovation. And I think there's a lot of us Republicans out there. And it isn't, please hear me out. Tom, you and I can disagree about politics, okay? Yep. There's probably a lot of things you and I disagree with, okay? But you know something? Character matters. And you don't put up with this kind of garbage.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people have been doing so for a long time. But I'm hoping that there will be an awakening in America. I really believe so.
It's not awakening in America. It's awakening within our political. The Republican Party needs to wake up. Or in 2 years from now, we're going to have a Republican. We're going to have a Democratic Senate. We're going to have a Democratic House, and we're going to have a Democratic president. And guess what? I'm also going to quote Rush Limbaugh again. And by the way, I like Rush Limbaugh, okay? Rush Limbaugh wrote a book who says, I told you so. Well, guess what? In 2 years from now, you can mark this tape. If we don't stand up and we don't get someone in the Senate and some Republicans in the House who have enough guts, enough courage to say, shut up, sit down, resign.
Well, the only people that are willing to do that, apparently.
And then we will have something to complain about.
The only people that are willing to do that are somebody like Jeff Flake, who was on his way out the door. And but people who are running for re-election, probably who would be up for re-election, but they don't want to get primaried. They don't want to have like somebody to primary them on the from the right. They don't want to have to deal with that. They don't want to have to deal with Trump calling them a loser. That's the other thing. I don't know if you saw it the other day. They showed some footage of Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, the former governor of Wisconsin, when he was running for president. He was running for the Republican nomination in 2016, and he was in England. And Scott Walker, I'm definitely not a fan of his. I mean, he got rid of unions, and he did a lot of stuff that I didn't agree with. But he was in England, and they were interviewing him, and they asked him a question about, you know, what's the worst thing about Barack Obama? And he said, I'm sorry, I'm on foreign soil. I'm not going to criticize the president of the United States while I'm on foreign soil. And I thought that was a very, not even courageous, it was the right thing to do. And then you see President Trump in Japan criticizing Joe Biden and siding with Kim Jong-un. And it's like, does he have no barriers whatsoever?
And we're gonna pay a very serious price for this.
Well,
and I'm just encouraged. Hopefully there's some Republicans who are listening to you, and I hope they wake up.
Well, do you think Martha McSally is going to take, going to ask Trump for his support in the next election? She's up for election next year, and not re-election. She's up for election against the former astronaut.
Well, let me just say this. Okay, I didn't vote for. There was one decision I made for the last election. I said I knew I was never going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Okay. I struggled. And I finally decided I voted for the Libertarian candidate, okay? Because I just couldn't, when he made his last statement on the, they did that video, you know, when him saying all that stuff, I just said, enough is enough.
So the thing is, in many ways, you're struggling more than I am. I mean, I'm a Democrat, and it's just like, golly, what an idiot. And then you look at your party is being gutted from the inside by this guy.
But we can't. I don't understand this. I mean, you want to know who I'm really mad at? I'm mad at the evangelical, I'm a Christian too, the evangelical Christians. Where is Jerry Falwell? Where is Franklin Graham? Where is these people who stood up and say, go up there and say, we're not going to put up with this. Can you imagine Jerry Falwell's dad sitting there saying he's going to vote for somebody who went on out and had an affair with a Playboy bunny?
Jerry Falwell, the senior, and I actually interviewed him. He was here in Tucson, and back in 1980, I interviewed him, and I asked him if he had a problem supporting Ronald Reagan because Ronald Reagan had a divorce. And back, obviously, this is almost 40 years ago, but he said that he did have a problem with that. He said, but, you know, divorce is becoming more common, and he believed that Reagan was a good man, and I believed Reagan was a good man, too. But, I mean, this guy cheated on wife one with wife two, and cheated on wife two with wife three, and who knows, and he's cheated on wife three with porn actresses and everything else. I don't understand how an evangelical Christian can support that. Anyway, Mark, I'm sorry. This is a great call, but we're out of time. We've got to take a break. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate it. Good hearing from you. You're supposed to be playing Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. You know, this is not uplifting music. Anyway, hi, this is Tom Danahy. I'm back. I'm sitting in for Bruce Ash today. He's away, and if you want to give me a call, it's 790-2040. I'm a liberal Democrat, so you can yell at me all you want. And one other thing that Donald Trump said this week that really, really, I mean, he's a stable genius. He said he told us that himself. But the other day when somebody talked about impeachment, he called it a dirty word. It's a horrible word. He said, plus, he doesn't think he could be impeached. The courts won't allow it. The courts have nothing to do with impeachment. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing. Zero. Well, the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court would preside over the trial if it ever got to the Senate. But that's it. The courts have nothing to do with it. The House of Representatives would bring charges. The Senate would try him if there was an impeachment trial. I don't believe there's going to be. But he's the President of the United States, and he doesn't know how the Constitution works. Oh, one other thing. Sean, please hold on 1 second. All this talk, this is something that's driving me crazy. I understand that people say, oh, he's shaking things up. We got to get outside the norms. People are throwing around the word treason, and that really bothers me. You can't call somebody a traitor. It's like calling somebody a child molester. You just don't do that. And to say, oh, he's on the other side of the political divide, he's a traitor. No, he's not. Yeah. He investigated my campaign. He's a traitor. No, he's not. Treason is incredibly hard to reach. And I hope nobody's a traitor. Even the Rosenbergs who got executed for giving the Russians the nuclear secrets, they weren't convicted of treason because they didn't commit treason. They were convicted of espionage. So the use of the word treason being thrown around is vulgar. I heard a guy the other day, real quick, on another morning talk show, just calling everybody a traitor, and it's just not right. And then again, just to top it off, he was talking about Rachel Maddow from MSNBC, and couldn't decide if she was a he or a she. That's really good. This is 2019. You're still going to make fun of gay people. You know, really good. I hope your audience loved that. Anyway, we have Sean on the line. How you doing, Sean?
Pretty good, Tom. How have you been today, young man?
I'm still here, so that's I'm upright and everything.
You call it live and kicking, right?
Well, I used to kick, but anyway. So what's up?
I gotta ask you, Tom. I think you're right in my age group. I think we both graduate, and I'm guessing here. I think we both graduated about 1984, right?
From what?
High school.
Oh no, I graduated 1969.
Oh my!
Yeah. This is my 50th year out of high school, yeah. I just sound young.
So you're the age of my dad, and I got to ask you a question. I mean, I listened to the last commentary from the other caller, and I listened to you brag that, and I'm not judging, by the way.
But, why not? You know, that's fun. Go ahead. Anyway, what's up?
Wow, okay. But the caller comes on, talks about, I only can get my point of view from this guy on the radio. I don't have any faith component in my life. Do you remember, I mean, if you graduated 1969, you're only 3 years older than, oh no, you're 3 years younger than my dad. And we still talk about this. Back in the day, two neighbors could live next door to each other, and I live in this small place called Salt Lake City. But one neighbor could live next door to the other neighbor. Both of them probably served in World War II. That's my grandpa. And neither one would know who the other guy voted for. Do you think right now, Tom, we've got to a point where people start to brag so much that I'm in the Republican Party and I don't care how much they steal me blind, touch my women, steal my babies, kill babies, do whatever. Oh, I'm in the Democrat Party. Oh, I don't care if they kill babies. I don't care if they steal me blind in taxes, raise my property taxes, do whatever. I support them because they're in this party. And I believe that's the right thing to do, is steal everybody blind or kill every baby that can be. Do you think we've got a problem with the political party, or do we have a faith problem, Tom?
Oh, wow, I would say both. I really would. But the political party stuff has gotten out of hand. And it used to be, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. One thing real quick, just it matters very little, but I was 16 years old when I graduated from high school. So I'm probably a little bit different in the age thing. I was born in 1952. But anyway.
My old man's born in 47, so you're right in my old man.
Okay. Yeah,
party, I guess.
The thing is, my father was born in Ireland, and my mother was born in Italy. And so I'm a first-generation American. And so they both came to the United States, and so they were immigrants. And, you know, there was the distaste for Irish people. I mean, the Italians didn't have much problem, although my mother came to the United States to escape Mussolini, basically. But and then I grew up in an all-black neighborhood in Los Angeles. I grew up where they beat up Rodney King. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a black neighborhood during the civil rights days. And both parents are immigrants, and my father was a union man. So my Democratic bona fides are pretty strong. But I guarantee that there were people, when Bill Clinton came out, you know, when they caught Bill Clinton doing that stuff, it was like, really, dude? I mean, I don't care. I honestly don't care. I'm Catholic. I've been Catholic my whole life. And I've always said that if somebody wants to fool around with every woman on earth that wants to fool around with him, go ahead. It doesn't bother me. Don't get married first. If you're going to get married, then don't fool around. And that I just gave up on Bill Clinton when I heard that. And but what I don't understand is people aren't giving up on this guy. And the parties are hardened. And my son, who's a computer engineer, and he works at the U of A, and he works for NASA. He actually asked me yesterday. He said, Dad, is there a Republican that you wouldn't mind? I said, I wouldn't have minded if Mitt Romney had won in 2012. That would have been okay. I just would have shrugged and said, oh, okay, fine. I said, I wouldn't mind it. But what bothers me now is Mitt Romney's nowhere to be seen.
He's a senator from Utah.
I know, but
even all my relatives in Utah can't believe that guy got elected. Nobody likes him.
But he got elected from Utah, but why is he not criticized, or why is he not saying anything negative about stuff that the president does?
Because Mitt Romney's a freaking thief. He's been a thief his entire life. That's all he's ever done is stole. He bought up companies and cut them apart, which anybody that knows anything about, capitalistic, I'm not thieving capitalist, which was what he was. I mean, he's not a capitalist. He was a vulture capitalist. He was one of those guys that went in and bought up companies and sliced and diced them and made profit from it. He was a disgusting man. Everybody in Utah that I've talked to knows. But he was a Republican, and in Utah, we'll take the lesser of two evils. And even Utah's gone bad, Tom. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm giving up on my home state.
That's a shame. Utah's beautiful.
Utah. People have faith. I mean, there's more steeples than courthouses, and I always say, more steeples create good things. And you can disagree with that or not. I just think a lot of steeples keep the community founded or grounded, I should say, in something not right and left, but right and wrong.
I went to one of the prettiest Catholic churches I've ever been to is in downtown Salt Lake City. It's just off, off the downtown area. I can't remember what the name of it was.
One and a half miles from the Mormon church. It's a beautiful temple. I'm sorry, not a temple. Sorry, church.
Church,
I apologize.
Anyway,
it's gorgeous.
So you think that it's a matter of faith?
I believe when the Supreme Court took the Bible out of schools, I think we turned a very dangerous corner, being from Utah, where Seventh Hour in Utah, they had seminary right across. They had to do it right across the street, but you walked across the street and you had seminary in Seventh Hour. You're teaching it. You're still at Greenfields or no?
No. I'm at Immaculate Heart.
Oh, we'll see.
Catholic school, yes.
There you go. I mean, do you see? And I'm gonna be very unvulgar. Do kids walk in and say, "F you, teacher, I'm going to get you fired," or do they come in and show respect?
They generally come in and show respect. I can't. I mean, I don't teach. I just coach basketball.
I understand.
But they
wouldn't come in and say, "Hey, F you, Tom."
No.
I don't want to go practice, and I'm not putting on my shorts today. I'm not putting on my T-shirt. You can't make me, because I'll bet you can make them.
I could, but the thing is, I have coached at public schools, and this is, I mean, this is a kind of a heading off in the wrong direction, but
I agree.
I've always believed that respect is a two-way street, and I had a coach. I had a coach that was my boss when I was coaching at Amphi, and he was just livid that kids called me Tom, and I said, you know what, Tom, that's my name. I don't care what they call me, as long as they do what I ask them to do when I ask them to do it. And I said, they don't have to call me coach as a sign of respect. I said, why can't I respect them first and they respect me back? I said, respect is a two-way street. And I sincerely believe, and this is probably big-headed of me, but I think I can get any kid to respect me if I respect them first, or we meet in the middle. But the thing about faith, I understand that. I remember when I was a little kid, I used to get released from school to go do Catholic education when I was, going for my first communion, that kind of stuff. We got released from public school to go do this stuff, and that's along those lines. Pardon me?
What state was that in, sir?
California. Oh, Southern California.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, and this was, obviously, it was in the 60s, but we got out for religious education.
Do you...
I imagine that doesn't happen anymore. So
you're a little more public to me. Do you think there's any way to go back to it, or are we over what I call we've already crossed the Rubicon, we're done?
I think we've crossed that Rubicon. But the thing is, though, I mean, faith is something that should be done with the family anyway. But I think that there are certain tenets of faith that should be taught in the public schools, and that is respect and discipline and other things. Anyway, we got to take a break, Sean.
Keep safe, brother. Hey, great call. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye. Still no Marvin Gaye. Do I have to give you cash? I give you $12 in unmarked non-sequential bills. Marvin Gaye, for now on, Marvin Gaye. I mean, I heard MC Hammer with the music from the background of Rick James, but they're not Marvin Gaye. I don't get it. It's not that hard. You have the internet. You can get Marvin Gaye. What's going on? Yeah, it says Marvin Gaye death. You know how Marvin Gaye died? Do you happen to know how Marvin Gaye died? Anybody out there? He was shot and killed on his birthday by his father. How's that for a way to go? And his father is a preacher. And his father, yeah, shot and killed him. So go ahead. Play that music really fast. Hit the button. Okay, here we go. And dead air. Oh, I see. It's on YouTube. Okay. No, that's a commercial. That's really great. Oh, well. We'll just move on. The state legislature passed the state budget this week, and Governor Ducey... Oh, here we go. Okay, that's enough. That's wonderful. Yeah, Marvin Gaye. He was my favorite singer, and he was a troubled soul, like a lot of entertainers. But it's really funny. You'll hear songs all the time now. There was a song a couple of years ago, a hit song called "But It's Marvin Gaye and Get It On." And there's a country western song where the guy says, "Yeah, let's just turn down the lights and listen to Marvin Gaye," which is really cool. It was on a country song. Anyway, the state legislature finally passed. They finished their session, 134 days in legislative session. And on the way out the door, and I'm not bothered by this as much as some other people are, they tripled their per diem that they get for being in the legislature. But there are people that have to go to the legislature from the Navajo Reservation and Safford and Yuma and Kingman, and they have to be there in Phoenix, and they get a very small allowance. The last time that the per diem was raised was 1984. It's been a long time. And the only thing that bothers me is that the people who live in Phoenix, which are the majority of the people in the legislature, they're going to get the same raise as the people who live in Nogales and Ajo and the other places like that, which isn't right. These other people have to rent apartments or live in hotels, and they get this money. They get meal money, and they get money for lodging. But 134 days, that's more than a third of a year that they have to be in Phoenix. Now, they can go home for the weekend and stuff, but at the same time, I don't see this huge problem with it, but they should have made it so that the people who they should have done it by mileage, basically. The people who live that far away should get more of a per diem than the people who live in Phoenix and are just going to milk it for whatever they can get. The state budget, they are still screwing over public education. They do it every chance they get. I don't know if you guys, there's a lot of people that weren't living here in Arizona during the Great Recession in 2008. But what they did is the legislature went to the schools and said, you know, the law says we have to give you this amount of money, but how about this one time you let us slide because we're in such dire straits, we didn't get a lot of money, the recession has hit, and we're at a huge deficit, and the Arizona state budget, the Constitution says that they can't run a budget deficit, so they said, we really can't pay the money we're supposed to pay to the schools, so could you let us slide this one year? And the schools, idiots that they were, basically said, you know, we're all in this together, so that's fine, this one time. And then they did it forever because they said, well, we didn't have to pay it last year. Why should we pay it this year? And they just went on that. So they broke the law for a decade. And I sincerely believe that some of them should have been prosecuted. Not necessarily, you know, I don't want them to be thrown in jail necessarily, but it's like, who said that? Martin Lawrence. He said, you know, I don't want him to die. I just want him to fall hard. And I wish that the legislatures had they broke the law. And they willingly broke the law. And it bothers me to this day. And they're still underfunding the schools. They're getting basically now, schools are getting now what they got 10 years ago without all the inflation raises and all the rest of the stuff that the law says they should have gotten. And I'll be honest, my wife's a public school teacher. She hasn't gotten a raise in 10 years. And the other thing, last year they said, oh, gave them a 10% raise. She didn't get a raise because she's been teaching so long that they gave the raises to the younger teachers so they could not have to work at Red Robin at night. And I know a lot of young teachers that hold second jobs. And there was a woman that was quoted the other day in the newspaper said that she got the 10% raise last year. And she said, finally, I have a comma in the amount of money I take home every 2 weeks. And I mean, a teacher making $900 every 2 weeks, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, they're still sticking it to education. They made it harder for citizens to pass initiatives. And that has been a problem with the legislature forever. They don't like the fact that that people are taking the law into their own hands and trying to make improvements where the legislature won't. And so they have been fighting it forever. And now they make it harder for people to gather signatures on petitions and harder for those petitions to become initiatives. And they fight them in the courts. And I still believe that that there are going to be strong issues that people will be able to get petitions passed, but it's going to be harder to do so. One good thing that we're all going to be happy about: they made it legal for you to have nunchucks. Yeah, that was one of their. Seriously, I don't understand, but that was one of their things that they crowed about. Yeah, you can now have nunchucks. And which is hilarious because, you know, 99 people out of 100 that use nunchucks damage themselves. They hit themselves in the back of the head. They hit themselves in the armpit, in the back, whatever. It's just hilarious watching somebody try to fool around with nunchucks. Even those foam ones, you're going to get hit in the eye. But the number one thing that I am happy about and unhappy about is they finally got around to passing a law making it illegal to use a phone while you're driving. Now, I wrote a column that's going to come out next week, and I said there was a movie, a Lee Marvin movie, The Big Red One, a World War II movie, and at the end of the movie, he stabs a German soldier, and then somebody tells him, right after he stabs a German soldier and leaves him to die, somebody tells him the war's been over for 4 hours. And so Lee Marvin turns around and tries to save the guy's life. He goes, "You're not going to be the last person to die in this war at my hands. And someday there's going to be the last person to die because somebody was texting while they were driving." Unfortunately, a Salt River policeman was killed earlier this year when somebody was, pulled somebody over on Loop 101 and was giving them a ticket. And then he was struck by a vehicle driven by a guy who was texting on the freeway. And killed this guy. He left behind a wife and a 10-month-old baby because somebody was texting on the freeway. So the United States, Arizona passed a law finally saying that, because a lot of municipalities have passed a law saying you can't use cell phones at all, not texting at all. You can't use them. You can't have them in your hand. You can't have them up to your ear. If you have hands free, you can use that. But a lot of cities have passed that law. And so Arizona got dragged into the 21st century. We're the 48th state. There are only two states now that don't have laws against texting while driving, and those are Montana and Missouri. So be careful when you go there. And Arizona passed this thing, and then they said it doesn't take effect until January 1st of 2021. So you can get pulled over if they see you talking on the phone or texting while you're driving, and all they can give you is a warning. And so for the next 18 months, people are still going to be dying because other selfish people are going to be driving around, talking on a cell phone, or even texting while they're driving. This is insanity. And they need to, well, it's too late now because the session is over, but they need to change it so that the law goes into effect the next time they go into session, which is like January of 2020. Anyway, it's been a lot of fun. I've had fun. We have about 40 seconds left, and I want to thank our two callers, and I want to thank Bruce for inviting me to sit in here today, and I want to thank Marvin Gaye for being Marvin Gaye, and that'll be it. So, we'll go out with Marvin Gaye. Have a good day.